We're continuing our studies in the book of Galatians, and I want to read Galatians chapter 5, verses 7 through 12. Galatians 5, 7 through 12, where Paul said, "You did run well. Who did hinder you that you should not obey the truth? This persuasion cometh not of him that calleth you. A little leaveneth the whole lump. I have confidence in you through the Lord that ye will be none otherwise minded, but he that troubleth you shall bear his judgment, whosoever he be. And I, brethren, if I yet preach circumcision, why do I yet suffer persecution? Then is the offense of the cross ceased? I would that they were even cut off which trouble you." Paul is beginning to deal with the fact that there was a time when the church in Galatia was doing the right thing. They were running well. And we find that in verse 7. "Ye did run well, but there were those that were causing them to stumble, to hinder, to stop." And I'm reminded of what Paul said in 1 Corinthians chapter 9, verses 24 through 27, that we are in a race, and that we need to take this race serious. And if we are running well, there's no reason to change. Paul said in verse 24, "Know ye not that they which run in a race run all? But one receiveth the prize, so run that ye may obtain. And every man that striveth for the masteries is temperate in all things. Now they do it to obtain a corruptible crown, but we an incorruptible. I therefore so run, not as uncertainly, so fight I, not as one that beateth the air, but I keep under my body, and bring it into subjection, lest that by any means when I have preached to others, I myself should be a castaway." Paul wasn't worried about losing his salvation. He was concerned about him, whether or not he would stand approved in the presence of the Lord at the judgment seat of Christ. In fact, this word castaway is the word adokomos, meaning to be disapproved. It's translated rejection, or to be rejected, or to hear, "Depart from me, ye that have worked lawlessness." So Paul was concerned about his running the race. Now, usually in a race, there's only one prize, the winner. In this race, we can all be winners. We can all run to obtain. We can all be faithful. We can all run well and expect to get the prize. And sometimes we need to appreciate the fact that to do this, it's going to take discipline on our part. We may have someone get in front of us that will slow down and cause us to maybe stumble, or to cause us to slow down in our running of the race. And so therefore we need to be careful that we discipline ourselves, that we be not hindered by someone else. We should not allow somebody else to hinder us in doing what the Lord would have us to do. We may be offended, but that should not change your purpose in life as far as pleasing the Lord is concerned. Paul says, "I keep under my body," in verse 27, "and bring it into subjection." The appetites of our flesh can hinder us. The appetites of our purposes in our life can cause us to be distracted and turned away from the race. And Paul was concerned about it. He says, "I've encouraged other people, and you've encouraged other people." Paul says, "I don't want to wind up being out when I've encouraged you to be in and to win the race." Paul said in 2 Timothy chapter 2 and verse 5, "If a man strive for the masteries, Yet he is not crowned except he strive lawfully. One of the things we need to appreciate is that we need to do it God's way. We need to do it the right way. And that's what it means, to strive lawfully. We can be disqualified, just like in the Olympics. People are disqualified for doing some small infraction. Just taking a breathing in an inhalant can cause the bloodstream to show some kind of chemical or in the bloodstream, and it was an innocent thing, and it would be, and they would be disqualified. But anyway, we need to run lawfully. Not only do we need to run lawfully, we need to run patiently. That means we need to be enduring when it comes to running. In Hebrews chapter 12, verse 1, wherefore, seeing we are compassed about with so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight and the sin which doth so easily beset us, and let us run with patience the race that is set before us. First of all, we need to be aware that there are people that are before, have gone before us, that have been faithful. And they are witnesses to us that it pays to live a faithful life for the Lord, because God honored them, and He will honor you as well, you and I as well. So there is a cloud of witnesses. Well, this cloud of witnesses that he refers to in Hebrews 12 is all of the witnesses in Hebrews 11. You know, Moses and Abraham and Sarah and others in the book of, in the 11th chapter of Hebrews. And there are weights, not necessarily sins, but weights that discourage us and that cause us to become weary. I think of Esau. Esau became weary. Where was Esau? He was in the fields. He was a man of the world. And it exhausted him. And so therefore he fainted. And so therefore we need to lay aside things that would cause us to put God second in our life. And we need to, and the sin is a reference to the sin of lawlessness. God does not like for us to do it our way. He likes us to do it His way. He wants us to strive lawfully. He wants us to run lawfully. And we need to run patiently with endurance. Oftentimes, if a runner doesn't pace himself, he wears out before the race is finished, doesn't he? So the Lord doesn't want someone who's a sprinter. He wants somebody that will run diligently, pacing himself, not overextending himself, so that he can finish the race. Now, so that's the encouragement there that we need to have. They were running well, and yet they were hindered, that they would not obey the truth. We should have a high esteem for the truth. You did run well, but you didn't obey the truth. In Galatians 3:1, Paul calls them foolish. Galatians, who hath bewitched you that you should not obey the truth? For what is the truth? I think the truth is not just simply something that's true. This word truth has a definite article in front of it, and it's speaking about a particular truth. And this particular truth that is found in the book of Galatians has to do with being approved or justified by faith. In fact, in John 16:13, it says, "Howbeit, when the Spirit of truth has come, He will guide you in all the truth." Another time where the truth is found, and it says, "And He will show you things to come." The reference to things to come have to do with His coming kingdom and glory. So the truth has to do with qualifying to rule and reign with Christ. The truth has to do with standing in His presence and to be approved, to hear, "Well done, thou good and faithful servant." Because just being saved does not guarantee that commendation. Now, in Romans chapter 2, in verses 8 and 9, it talks about those who do, what will happen to those who do not obey the truth. But it says, "Unto them that are contentious," obviously there was somebody in the church at Galatia that was contentious. They were bucking the truth. and do not obey the truth pertaining to the calling unto his kingdom and glory, but they obey unrighteousness. Now their judgment will be indignation, wrath, tribulation, anguish upon every soul of man that doeth evil. If we oppose the truth of the kingdom message, then we can expect problems at the judgment seat of Christ. There will be tribulation for you. There will be anguish. There will be indignation. You will be embarrassed. You will be ashamed at the judgment seat of Christ. And that's the reason why when we read about weeping and gnashing of teeth in outer darkness, we always want to associate that with the lost, because God wouldn't do that to the saved. That's not so. It's the saved who would not obey the truth. They are the ones that will be weeping and gnashing of teeth because of the anguish of their heart, because they did not do what the Lord would have them to do. Now, in Galatians 5:8, where it says, "This persuasion cometh not of him that calleth you," Paul is saying, now look, I didn't teach this. I'm not persuaded of what you're doing. And Paul had called them unto the gospel of Christ, the gospel of grace, in Galatians 1:6. Where it says, "I marvel that you're so soon removed from him that called you unto the grace of Christ." Paul would call them unto the grace of Christ, and not to justification by keeping the law. Galatians 3:11, he says, "But that no man is justified by the law in the sight of God, it is evident, for the just shall live by faith," or by means of faith. There were those that were persuaded that you had to keep the law to be justified. In fact, they were teaching it, and that's the reason why Paul said in Galatians 5:9, "A little leaven leaveneth the whole lump." You wonder why Paul brought in leaven right here in the middle of this passage of Scripture. Well, we find out that leaven is significant. In Matthew chapter 16, verse 6, it says, "Then Jesus said unto them, Take heed and beware of the leaven of the Pharisees and of the Sadducees." Of course, the apostles were concerned that he were talking about a loaf of bread, and you shouldn't have a loaf of bread with leaven. You know, it's amazing how when we hear a message, we really get things all mixed up. The apostles did it even when the Lord was teaching it, but he got them straightened out in verse 12. "Then understood they how he bade them not beware of leaven of bread, but of the doctrine of the Pharisees and the Sadducees." Paul, in verse 9 of Galatians 5, it says, "A little doctrine, a little false doctrine, will spread through the whole congregation." And so therefore you need to be aware of the fact that a little false doctrine will affect everyone. And we find that doctrine of the scribes and the Pharisees and the Sadducees in Acts chapter 15 in verse 5. "But there rose up a certain of the sect of the Pharisees, which believed," in other words, they were saved, they had received the Lord Jesus Christ as their Savior, "saying that it is needful to circumcise them," that is, the Gentiles, "and to command them to keep the law of Moses, not to be saved, but to enter the kingdom, to stand approved." And Paul said, "I didn't teach that." In fact, the Lord Jesus Christ taught that the doctrine of the scribes and the Pharisees was not enough to enter the kingdom. In Matthew chapter 5, verse 20, "For I say unto you, that except your righteousness shall exceed the righteousness of the scribes and the Pharisees, ye shall in no case enter into the kingdom of heaven." What does that mean? What is that saying? Well, the righteousness of the scribes and the Pharisees had to do with the righteousness which is of the law. And, of course, they were concerned about the ceremonial law as well as the moral law. But for us today, it's the moral law. We need to keep the moral law so we can be just. You cannot live in adultery, you cannot steal, murder, and expect to rule and reign in the coming kingdom. You got to be an obedient child of God to His commandments. When the Lord says, love one another, you know what that means? We need to care about each other. We need to love for each other. And so for our righteousness to see the scribes and the Pharisees, that means we have to do what? Live by faith. So the 11 of the that was in the church at Galatia was 11 of the scribes and the Pharisees and the Sadducees, and that is, to be justified, you got to keep the law. And Paul says, I didn't teach this. And it's obvious that a little of this doctrine has affected everybody in the church at Galatia. Then in back to Galatians chapter 5 and verse 10, it says, He says, I have confidence in you through the Lord that ye be none otherwise minded, but he that troubleth you shall bear his judgment, whosoever he be. Paul says, I have confidence in you. You can work this thing through. That you're not going to be thinking this way all the time. That I have confidence in you through the Lord that you will be none otherwise minded. In other words, you'll get away from this leaven. And the guy that is spreading this doctrine, this leaven, is going to bear his judgment. In other words, to bear his judgment means that he is not going to be forgiven for what he is doing. And we will see that in just a moment. First of all, in Galatians 1:7, it says, there be some that trouble you and would pervert the gospel of Christ. So teaching what they were teaching was perverting the gospel of Christ. And the gospel of Christ, of course, is the power of God unto salvation to them that believe in the present tense. We'll see that in just a moment. But in Ezekiel chapter 14, it's interesting when it talks about bearing the punishment. And if the prophet be deceived or enticed or flattered, when he hath spoken a thing, I, the Lord, have deceived or lured or enticed that prophet. In other words, here's a prophet is deceiving people, and the Lord's not going to hinder him from doing that. He's going to allow him to do it. In other words, God's not going to take a prophet and kill him for saying the wrong thing. But he goes on, he says, I will stretch out my hand upon him, though, and will destroy him from the midst of my people, Israel. In other words, I'm going to take him out of the midst of my people. And they, in words, that is, the teaching prophet, shall bear the punishment of their iniquity. The punishment of the prophet shall be even as the punishment of him that seeketh unto him. In other words, not only will the prophet suffer punishment, but those who follow him will also suffer the punishment. Now, when I see the fact that he will bear his punishment, it means that there is not going to be forgiveness for that. There are some sins that will not be forgiven. And one of the sins that won't be forgiven is if you don't forgive your brother, you're not going to have your sins forgiven. He says if you don't forgive your brother, your heavenly Father is not going to forgive you your sins either. But that's not the case or the issue here. I look in Matthew chapter 13 verses 41 through 42. This deals with those that are offended or offending other people. It says, the Son of Man shall send forth his angels, and they shall gather out of his kingdom all things that offend, and them which do lawlessness or iniquity, and shall cast them into a furnace of fire, and there shall be wailing and gnashing of teeth. So people who offend, people who oppose, what's going to happen to them at the beginning of the millennial kingdom? They're going to be gathered out of the kingdom. They're going to be placed in a place that they're not going to like. It's going to hurt them. And I don't think the emphasis should be so much on the furnace of fire, but on the fact that there's going to be wailing and gnashing of teeth for their behavior. And because they offended other people. Now, the offense hadn't ceased or has not ceased in Galatians 5:11. And I, brethren, if I preach circumcision, why do I yet suffer persecution? Then is the offense of the cross ceased. Well, let me just skip down a little bit here in our notes, because I want to emphasize Matthew chapter 12, verse 32. In fact, Matthew 12, 32 actually belongs under the heading of He That Troubleth You. That is Galatians 5:11 or 5:10. Because those that offend and those that teach false doctrine are those who speak against the Holy Spirit. What does it mean to teach against the Holy Spirit? To teach against the Holy Spirit is to teach against what the Holy Spirit teaches. Blasphemy means to speak against. Okay? To speak against. Let me read Matthew chapter 12, verse 32. And whosoever speaketh a word against the Son of Man, it shall be forgiven him. But whosoever speaketh against the Holy Ghost, it shall not be forgiven him, neither in this age, neither in the age, the one coming. In other words, if you speak against the teaching ministry of the Holy Spirit, you're not going to be forgiven in this age. What age? The church age. Or what is the age that's coming? The millennial age. And those who are teaching the leaven that you got to keep the law in Galatians chapter 5 are teaching against the Holy Spirit. That's what I want to bring out. When you teach that you can be justified by keeping the law, you're teaching against what the Holy Spirit is teaching. Paul was teaching what the Holy Spirit wanted taught. There were those in the church in Galatia that were teaching against that truth. And it's very plain here that if you say anything against the Son, you can be forgiven that. But when you start teaching against what the Holy Spirit is teaching, you're in big trouble. You're going to bear that sin. It will not be forgiven you in this age, nor in the age that's coming, which is the millennial age. But now, after the millennial age, that's all going to be wiped away. That's all going to be taken care of, okay? So it's only dealing with two ages, the church age and the millennial age. Because after that, that will not be an issue. I'm not saying that you're going to, in fact, there will no longer be any weeping and gnashing of teeth. There will no longer be any tears, because the former things will be wiped away. Okay? The weeping and gnashing of teeth will one day go away completely for those that are in outer darkness. So, anyway, I wanted to bring Matthew 12:32 in under He That Troubleth You. Those who offend, they will be gathered out of the kingdom. There will be no forgiveness for them during the kingdom. Why? They taught against the teaching of kingdom truth. Okay? Now, Paul says the offense has not ceased. Galatians 5:11. And I, brethren, if I yet preach circumcisions, why do I yet suffer persecution? Because he was continuing, he wasn't teaching it, so therefore he was being persecuted. And he says, then is the offense of the cross ceased. In other words, if I no longer am being persecuted, and I do preach and teach the cross, now this isn't crucifixion cross, this is the cross that you and I bear daily. We find that in Luke chapter 9 in verse 23. And he said unto them all, if any man will come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross daily and follow me. Part of living for the Lord is suffering for the Lord. part of living for the Lord and preparing for the coming kingdom is persecution, opposition. But it should not keep us from running well. We need to appreciate the fact that there's going to be opposition. There are going to be those that will try to discourage you from running well. And so you should not let them discourage you and not let you beat them, let them beat you down. So we need to take up our cross daily. What does taking up our cross have to do with it? It has to do with dying to self. Christ first, self last. In Luke chapter 14, verse 27, "Whosoever doth not bear his cross and come after me cannot be my disciples." Part of bearing the cross and the shame of the cross is being his disciple. If you're not willing to do that, you're not one of his disciples. Paul says the preaching of the cross is foolishness to some. In 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verses 17 and 18, "For Christ sent me not to baptize, but to preach the gospel, not with wisdom of words, lest the cross of Christ should be made of none effect. For the preaching of the cross to them that perish, foolishness. But unto us who are saved, it is the power of God." Now, what I want to do now is to further define the preaching of the cross. First of all, this passage, the preaching of the cross is to them that are perishing. This word perishing here is those that are not entering the kingdom, not entering the land flowing with milk and honey. Those who didn't enter the land flowing with milk and honey perished. They didn't lose their salvation. They just didn't enter into the better inheritance. "But unto us which are being saved." This is not talking about the common salvation. This is talking about the so great salvation, because the word saved is in the present tense, continuous action. And it is the power of God. The preaching of the cross is the power of God. And what is the power of God? It's found in Romans chapter 1, verse 16. "For I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God unto salvation, to everyone that believeth," present active, "to the Jew first and also to the Greek. For therein is the righteousness of God revealed from faith to faith, that it is written, the just shall live by faith." What is the power of Christ? It's the gospel of Christ. That's the power of Christ. Who is what? To whom is the gospel of Christ preached? It's preached to those that are believing in the present tense. That's where the power of God comes in, to those who are believing in the present tense. They will not be hindered from running well if we continue to believe. And we are not offended because of the cross of Christ, the power of God, the gospel of Christ. Remember, Paul was the one who had called them unto the gospel of Christ. And there were those in the church in Galatia that were perverting the gospel of Christ, saying that you had to keep the law to stand approved. Now, in 1 Peter chapter 1, we see another reference to the power of God, "who are kept by the power of God through faith unto salvation, ready to be revealed in the last time." How are we kept? By the power of God. What is the power of God? It's the gospel of Christ that reveals to us the righteousness which is of faith. So if we're kept by the power of God, which is the message of the kingdom, through faith, we will have an inheritance in that day. That's what the context of that verse teaches us. So, what do we need to do? We need to endure the cross. Did Jesus endure the cross? Yes, he did. Hebrews chapter 11 or 12, verse 2. "Looking unto Jesus, the author and the finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross." Now this, a lot of people want to apply this to being crucified on the cross. But when I think about the crucifixion didn't last long. just a few hours. Let me tell you, if dying is the cross, that's easy when you think about it. It's living for 70, 80 years. That's tough. That takes perseverance. And Jesus suffered persecution by the scribes and the Pharisees. They were dumping on him leaven. Leaven of what? Forget the faith, let's just keep the law. So it says here, for the joy that was set before him, he endured the cross. What was the joy that was set before him? To rule and reign in the coming kingdom as King of Kings. Because it says, it goes on saying, despising the shame, and is set down at the right hand of the throne of God. Despising the shame, I believe, has to do with being rejected, of not hearing, well done, thou good and faithful servant. And I'm not here to try to explain to you that Jesus Christ would ever have to endure the shame, because he wasn't going to quit because he was God. Okay? That's not the issue. The issue is this. We can have the shame of our nakedness to appear at the judgment seat of Christ if we don't have the proper clothes on. And the clothes that we need to put on, of course, is the righteousness which is, or the righteous acts of the saint. So, he despises shame, and he is set down at the right hand of the throne of God. We want to be ruling and reigning with Christ in his coming kingdom. So therefore, we need to endure the cross even as he endured the cross. Now, in Galatians 5:12, he says, I would that they were cut off which troubled you. When I think about being cut off, that means no words of trying to restore this individual. You know, when we find someone who is departing from the faith, or someone who has erred from the truth, a brother has erred from the truth, the exhortation is to restore him. But when it says here, Paul says, I would that they were cut off. I wish they were out of your midst. I wish they were gone. And there is no talk of restoring that individual. When you start teaching about or teaching against kingdom truth, there is no restoring, because there is no forgiveness. Not in this age nor in the age to come. The only thing to do is to get them out, if they have the influence of teaching against the Holy Spirit. That's one of the reasons why I put Matthew 12:32 in this portion right here. Because if you teach against the Holy Spirit, you're going to be cut off, and it's not going to be forgiven you now or even in the age to come. So what happens to the false prophet in 2 Peter chapter 2, verses 1 and 2? But there were false prophets also among the people, in the Old Testament. And there shall be false teachers among you, who privately will bring in damnable heresies, even denying the Lord that bought them. Now these false teachers are not lost people. They're saved people that are deceived. And they're bold, even in their deception, to teach false doctrine. And it will judge them. It will bring judgment upon them. They even deny the Lord that bought them, and bring upon themselves swift destruction. And many shall follow their pernicious ways, by reason of whom the way of the truth shall be evil spoken of. Those false teachers are teaching against the way of the truth. And the way of the truth has to do with the coming kingdom. Now, the passage that we were looking at this morning in Galatians chapter 5, it's just saying, there are those in your midst that are hindering you. Cut them off. Don't listen to them. That leaven is a leaven that teaches that you have to keep the law to stand justified. And let me tell you, Paul says, I'm teaching you that it's not the law that will justify you. It is being just, keeping the moral law, and living by faith will stand you in good stead with the Lord. So don't let these false teachers hinder your race. Be faithful. Endure with patience to the end. Father, I just pray that you would help us to appreciate the value of entering into your coming kingdom and glory and ruling and reigning with you. I just pray, Father, that you would help us to be able to discern those who speak against the truth, that teach against the ministry of the Holy Spirit, who is opening the things, opening truths concerning things to come, for which you are our high priest of good things that are coming. And so, Lord, we do pray that you would help us to be aware of the cloud of witnesses around us, not only in the Word of God, but also in our midst, in our fellowship, that we might run with patience, that we might be encouraged to set aside things that would slow us down, that would cause us to get tired, that cause us to get weary, to discourage us in our run for the prize, for the crown. And help us, Lord, to run it with endurance, with patience, with faithfulness, even looking unto Jesus, who ran His race like we need to run our race, enduring the cross, despising the possible shame at the judgment seat of Christ, that one day we will rule and reign with Him in His coming kingdom. Bless the message to each of our hearts this morning, we pray. In Jesus Christ's name, amen.